Yeah, that's one of my other big things in my life has been powering, and turns out that one of the limitations to fiber to the home is the disproportionately high cost of power. It's 30% in all fiber network for backup power. And they developed actually this guy, Jess Chernick, and with some influence from Southern Delco, myself, developed what was called a controlled environmental vault. And that really enabled electronics to be distributed into the outside plant from the central office. They're basically, they look like giant vaults, concrete vaults way up in the ground, and two pieces sealed and so forth. And they're underground, and they have backup power and commercial power and natural gas backup power. And they have, that's generally where you put your last electronics in the network. Although now we've extended that to the OEMs some cases. So now in Florida, and actually the Carolinas, North Carolina's a bit more than Florida, really. You have to have a wide array of backup generators. And when Hugo hit Charleston, Charleston was without power for some 6 weeks. They knocked the transmission line down. So Charleston worked on for something like six weeks on the real time generators. That's a 15, 25 hour. Kilowatt generators, and because the telco plant has that, as you probably know, and backup generators that could run as long as you put gas in them forever, or diesel in them forever, and flow through the batteries, etc. So you have your own power. That's why the telephone network continues to work.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get out in the field, have electronics and no backup power, and you got to have some way to get it. So we just follow these couple hundred gas generators. And what we found was the people would change the generators to the pole, and they come steal, cut the cable for you. If you're cold and your family's in the dark, and there's this great generator sitting out there that not a lot of morality can concern connected with that. So that's the best I have to say. My own personal view is that the longer term solution to the problem, which is kind of lots of other solutions tied to it, is the notion for distributed power. And most of the deregulation of the power industry would lend itself to doing that if, in fact, you could have a reasonably low cost natural gas generator.
Mm-hmm.
In a substantial number of homes. Number one, you would not have all the hits on your TV sets and your computer, etc. You have much more stable power. But you could also, you wouldn't have to do a reset your clock all the time. And more importantly, you wouldn't have to buy all those power interruptions.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd also not have to do a lot of generators. If you break the peak power at 4 to 7 in the evening and 10 to 12 in the morning, whatever it is, then you don't need to build any more generators for this next century.
Mm-hmm.
But that does involve a fairly substantial deployment of power. At one time, we had a notion of aqua in the attic, where you actually off peak time raise these water. It would be storage water for the living unit under fault conditions, hurricane conditions, tornado. And then in the daytime, they use potential energy to generate power during peak power. That's not economic, but gas power is. And that's probably one of the longer term solutions. Now, they go to your directly to your question, that was a long way around it, was during the Cuban crisis, back in the early 60s. I was a transmission engineer for Central Florida, which went from Hollywood to Palm Beach to St. Augustine and included Orlando. And of course, we were on invasion alert at the time. We thought the Russians were about to actually invade South Florida, the Keys, and we built a backup route from Key West to Miami in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I remember being on duty. We had 24-hour coverage of our control centers, our roll phones, which could operate during a hurricane or other natural disaster, but this was an alert, and we put a telephone in the toilets. So it was pretty serious stuff during that crisis. Of course, we had Patrick Air Force Base and Cape, so and those were military installations, so they had downrange. The range actually extended down to within the skirt of the north end of Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So there was particular vulnerability for that. I don't think that the Cold War it had a big effect on the military, and as you know, the Bell System did the Audubon network, which was a four-wire network. We had the astronaut network, which became a four-wire network, and the notion there was that in the United States, the Bell System would provide for communications of bombs falling scenario. And that was, by the way, one of the two principal things for Bell Corps. When it was formed, it was to take over the national security functions of AT&T and to provide basic research for the organization.